Never take that for granted. What a tremendous stewardship and privilege it is, and wonderful to see you this morning. This is always one of the biggest times of encouragement for me, is when I get to gather together with my church family and celebrate our Lord Jesus and to worship Him. And I'm so thankful many, many moons ago that my life was rearranged and organized in such a way that Sunday morning church participation became a major part of my life. And it's just been something I so desperately needed and just so wonderful. And, you know, it's kind of like the gym always say, 90% of the battle is getting there. It's getting inside. It's getting to that point. But when you get there, you always feel better leaving, you know. And good things happen once you're there. And so that's always how I feel about church, you know, is just being, there's nothing like the gathering of saints in the presence of God centered around His purpose, the way it touches your heart and the way it enlarges your life. And I did membership class this morning, our last membership class. We're going to be inducting new members here in the days to come. Super excited about that. But when I hear their stories and their testimonies about where they've come from different states and different backgrounds, and there's different ethnicities and all that in the room, there's just only Jesus can bring such a different group of people together in unity by His Spirit. It's only in Christ that we find equality and value in one another as a person, no matter what ethnic background you are, no matter what gender you are. In Jesus, we're all equal in value. And to live that together in community, it's the greatest representation. The church together is the greatest apologetic in the world of who Jesus Christ really is. Only He can bring us together in unity of spirit and purpose. So I think about that every time we're together. Isn't that a lot to think about? But I think about that as we worship together every Sunday, the beauty of this experience. It's just amazing. So I stand in awe of it, and I give God glory to it, and I thank you all so much for it. Love you and appreciate you all so much. You've enriched our lives, the Miller family, tremendously. My task this morning is to kick off chapter 11 in the Purple Book. We have worked through the Purple Book all year long. There was 12 chapters in the Purple Book, and we are on chapter 11, which is on evangelism and world missions. So it's a great time if you're just first time here. We are starting a new chapter, so I believe there's some Purple Books left to purchase. If you'd like to get one, you can dig in with us. We're going to be focusing on evangelism and world missions this whole month in this chapter. And my prayer really is that, I'll say it this way, I'll just condense it, that a love for lost people would permeate our hearts like never before. Let me tell you this, if you're following Jesus Christ as a believer in Him, and you confess that you're a Christian, you better love lost people. Amen. Because our Lord does. And we live in such a divided, divisive country today, news channels and political parties of just so permeated our lives with strife and division, and our Lord is not that way. He brings, as I'm going to talk about, reconciliation and peace, and He is the one who taught a subjugated people who were being tortured and killed and abused to love the ones who are doing that. Mm-hmm. It's amazing when you think about that. And He set that example by laying down His life, dying on the very instrument that people in power, the Roman Empire, had used to subjugate their people. That's what the cross was. It was an instrument of fear, that don't disobey the lordship of Caesar. It was fear. Don't disobey him, because if you do, the cross reminded them that you're going to die in rebellion to that. God used the very instrument of fear to subjugate people, use them as slaves to control their lives, to be the very instrument that would demonstrate His love forever to set people free, to know Him, love Him, and serve Him, and be able, in an unexplainable way, an unconditional way, love back those who are enemies to you. And so if we're going to be His church, Jesus said, what is it if you love people who love you? We got to love people who aren't with us, or who disagree with us, or who who might not like us at all. And I'm telling you, the table is set for us. If we'll really live that in conviction and in sincerity and the power of God's Spirit, I'm telling you, He'll move in a way that is amazing. And so just want to encourage you with that. Pastor Kindu has a book coming out. We're all sitting on the edge of our seat. Can't wait for that. Confident Christianity, right? In an age of, what is it? What's it called? Certainty of Christ in an age. Confident faith in a confused world. And so the church needs confident faith, right? The only way we're going to have confident faith is when our love is sincere. When our love is sincere and we know the truth of Jesus, we can be incredibly confident because we don't care how people respond to us because our pleasure is found in Jesus. And so with that, that's kind of a setup for what we're going to be talking about the rest of this month. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are, Jesus. And Lord, we remember why it is that you came, Lord, to testify to the truth, to reveal the Father in heaven, to destroy the works of the devil, and to seek and save those that are lost, Lord. So help us live just like you lived here on planet Earth, Lord. So open up our hearts and deposit something new in us, God, that we would be so much more of a church that just worries about our own personal needs and preferences, but we'd be a church that actually exists to celebrate you, to worship you, to encourage, strengthen, and comfort one another, but also, Lord, we exist for our non-members to see people, Lord, who are hurting, who are lost, who are rebellious against you, come to know the truth and love of who you are. So help us, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20 says this. It says that Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." This was Jesus' last words to his disciples before he left planet Earth to ascend to heaven. Last words in life are of first importance. You should write that down. When it's all said and done, when you are about to exit earth to enter heaven, your last words will be of first importance. How do I know that? Because as a pastor, I've had opportunities to be in the presence of people in prayer when it is their last moments on planet Earth. And, you know, we're not talking about our favorite flavor of bubble gum in those moments. Talking about what's most important in life. My father passed away in 2012, and for 4 months he was in hospice care in our house. And for 4 months I had the difficult struggle of every day coming home and trying to muster up enough emotional strength to go say hello to my father, who was basically dwindling down to not even skin, but really bones, just bones. And with that, knowing that I got to go see him because this could be the last day. This could be the last day. This could be the last day. But seeing him in that condition was so difficult and so painful, and so just emotionally traumatic. And going through 4 months of that every day was, an experience I'll never forget. But I remember when it was the last day. I remember when it was the last hour. In fact, I remember when it was like the last probably maybe 5 minutes. And I'd spent the last 4 months crafting a letter. I didn't want to just show up in those last 5 minutes and just speak and miss something. I crafted a letter of exactly what I wanted to say to my father. And I read him that letter because I knew these were my last words to my father. Last words have first importance in life. And this was Jesus' last words to a group of men, his disciples, that he had spent at least 3 years pouring his life into. He had modeled the way, he had taught what it means to really know God as your Father and to live the life of the kingdom of heaven. And not only that, but demonstrated it to him day after day after day. And as he was leaving, he reminded them what was of utmost importance. Don't let the circumstances of life and what's going on and what you see right now and your and what's happened is really the Roman Empire was probably the epitome, the pinnacle of just man's sinfulness in their power and rebellion against God, where no, Jesus isn't going to be Lord, but man's going to be Lord. I'm going to be God of my life. And they demonstrated that in subjugation and slavery of those that they dominated in power and control, and the hedonistic way they lived their own lives, so much so that they got so sick of their pursuit of pleasure and sin that they actually lost their identity and who they were and had to engage in perverse sexual behavior called homosexuality, which Romans chapter 1 starts out with, the book, reminding us that when we turn away from the truth of God and become depraved in our mind, God in his grace gives us over, he gives us over, still trying to turn us back, and then he does something, he gives us up in our rebellion, and our mind becomes so depraved and confused, we exchange natural relations for unnatural ones and the depravity of our sin. And that's significant. Because in Genesis chapter 1, God's dominion mandate for Adam and Eve was to take dominion of planet Earth through godly offspring, from being fruitful and multiplying and ruling the earth through that. Given the great stewardship and precious gift of being made in his image and likeness, human beings, the glory and crown, the expression of who God is more than anything else in creation. And the devil and his rebellion in heaven, he wanted that. He wanted God's image and his likeness. And God cast him out in his pride and gave it to man and woman. And in that's why the devil hates us so much. We have the very thing he wants, the image and likeness of God. That's why he's a thief. He can never create it, so he has to try to steal it or pervert it. And the whole battle of planet Earth, stay with me here, the whole battle, every warfare, everything, the world system that is antichrist against God that is being set up is about this, to keep a man and a woman from correctly marrying in holy matrimony and reproducing godly offspring to the glory of God. Amen. That's what it's all about ultimately. That is the battle. And every deception of the enemy is to try to keep that from happening. That God is our ultimate revelation given to us by Jesus is that of a father. And there's nothing like a society where the fathers commit to really being that in their family. Right. It's the greatest expression of who God really is, a man and a woman, a family. It's the greatest expression of the heart and nature and character and purpose of God. Yes. It's powerful. And in this, Jesus' last words to a culture that had perverted all of that is don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at the Roman domination. Don't look at all that right now. All authority's been given to me. And you're to go to these people, and not just these people, but to these people and to the ends of the earth, everywhere, and you proclaim the reality and truth of who I am, and you turn the world upside down. And you show them, this isn't how you live. You don't take the glory and image and purpose of God, the image and likeness, and use it in power to dominate other people and turn them into slaves. And you don't use it to pervert your bodies and engage in behavior that is not glorifying to the Lord. This is not how you live. You live in such a way that represents my kingdom and my purpose. and who I really am. You show what the image and likeness of God really looks like to the world. I saw it this morning in worship as I was worshiping the Lord and looked forward and I saw Ed Kimmel and Dee Kimmel. How long have you been married, Mr. Kimmel? 40 years. I saw something in worship as Miss Kimmel came in and stood next to her man and they looked at each other like it was their honeymoon and gave each other a kiss. I saw the glory of God in that. I saw Jesus all over that. You with me? It was like, it was worship. 40 years kissing like it was the first time. See, the devil wants to pervert that. I won't go there this morning. I won't go there this morning. I won't go there. I won't go there. Don't get nervous. But God, it was, sexual relation was God's idea. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. All right, I'm going to get off that. It was God's idea. So, in marriage, amen, I think I clarified that. But with that, but you have to over-clarify that in society today. So with that, thank you, Renee, she keeps us all straight. So with that, Jesus is standing, and his last words are, look, you've got a purpose. You've been with me for 3 years. You've got a purpose. And let's look at the conditions of the disciples at the time. Peter had denied Jesus to a servant girl. It was just getting reinstated. They all had scattered. I mean, they weren't, you know, for 3 years of, I mean, it encourages me, gives me hope as a pastor, right? I mean, Jesus, 3 years with him, at the end, they all just weren't, you know, just 100% right there, fully bought in, you know? But something happened in Acts chapter 2. They at least showed up where they were supposed to be, the importance of getting in church and where you're supposed to be, and they had an encounter with the Holy Spirit as Jesus promised. And Peter goes from denying Jesus and kind of in that state of having to be restored to preaching with such power to birth the church that the listeners did the altar call. Yeah. The listeners asked, what shall we do to be saved? I got to get right with God. And it was the beginning of this message going forth into all the earth. And Jesus taught, if you have faith as small as the mustard seed, the smallest seed, that little sect of Christianity right there would begin to turn the world upside down to where now billions from that environment that I just talked about, where they stood up and said, look, we're going to follow Jesus and love our enemies even if they kill us. Billions now believe in the one true Lord and Savior because of their obedience. We're here today because of their obedience. And let me tell you this, in the exact same way this morning, say I. Jesus is calling you as a minister of reconciliation for him to do the exact same thing. In fact, I think he said you'd do greater things than even they did. That's the expectations he has for us this morning. Come on, somebody clap about that. Somebody clap about that. That's good news. And so, here we are in the importance of those last words being spoken. And as a church, we have values, lordship. We value obedience to Jesus. We have the value of evangelism. What's that mean? We value lost people. We have the value of leadership. What's that mean? We look at every single person here as a leader for Jesus, and we want to help develop that. We have a value of discipleship. Means we want to see people spiritually grow in their faith with Jesus, and out of that, make disciples for him. And we have a value of family. We don't believe in disposable relationships. We have a value of natural family that I've talked about. Marriage, you got to be a marriage, man and a woman. Let me clarify that. And spiritual family. God calls us together as a church to walk in his purpose. I did membership this morning, and I get to do the last chapter. I love doing it. And I love, like I said, I just stand in awe. That's why I was emotional from a membership class, seeing God add family. And the last four commitments that members are committing to, right, Pastor Ken? Now, I didn't do it this morning. You might have the previous Sundays got him in like a, you know, chicken wing stronghold or you know, a figure four move and made him commit to being there. I don't think you did that, sir. They're making commitments on their own. We lay out the vision, the values, the purpose to which God's called us for, the expectations of what it means, and you freely choose to commit to that. And I had to remind, what are we committing to? We're committing to devotion. That as an individual, you're going to be devoted to our Lord Jesus Christ. That means you as an individual are not going to rely on the Sunday morning message or the pastor or the preacher or anybody else ultimately to feed you. Yes. You're going to get with Jesus. Yes. Because mature people feed themselves. Immature people need to be fed. I learned that after 5 years of age. And I told him, I love having a preaching team. I love being able to sit and listen to the Word of God as the senior pastor of this church and get fed in that kind of way. And I love, even when I'm doing that, I try to tie in what God's speaking in the Spirit to my message. I open up my Bible. So much is happening in my brain as I sit here, and the revelation is so thick on Sunday mornings of what God is doing. I so appreciate Pastor Ken. I mean, world-class apologist and Bible teacher and preacher. World-class right here in Tallahassee, Florida. He's been all over the world, and Jesus sent him right here to speak to this highly educated city. Tallahassee per capita is one of the most highly educated per capita cities in our nation. He's finishing his PhD. God's got him ready in this season to blow this city away. And Pastor Bindu, you've been preaching now consistently for what, a year, year and a half? Phenomenal. 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 Quipped. Well done, Pastor Ken and Renee. And getting that Bible in that boy, even when he was wanting to be rebellious, which we all go through those phases, unfortunately, at times, though you don't have to. The seed was sown, and now you see the gift and the promise. Benjamin, the son of my right hand, right, coming forth, and it's just, I love it. And anything, Pastor Ken and I talk about this all the time. The only environment we want to create is to see the next generation come up into their purpose and destiny. So when I sit there and watch it, it fills my heart with great excitement and joy. I love it. Love the word. Love to receive it. Let me tell you this. I do not rely on Pastor Ken or Pastor Ben to feed me. I rely on Jesus to feed me. Now, I don't take that to the extreme. Well, it's just me and Jesus. I don't need to be a part of the church. Jesus is feeding me. I don't need you. No, I need to be a part of this body because God's called me here. And I grow being in relationship. It's the only way you continue to grow. It's important. It's important. And the day, if it comes, that God releases me of senior pastor duty and somebody turns it on, let me tell you, the next day I show up, I'm going right to my pastor and going, hello, Pastor Ron Miller, Ronald Rudolph Miller Jr., reporting for duty. Pastor, I've prayed to the Lord. I've tried to be spiritual. I've sought Him. And I've wanted to really please my Lord. And here's what He's told me again. Here's what He tells me. Every time I seek Him on what to do, He says this, go ask your pastor what you can do. Yes. And I will stand in that moment and go, Pastor, what do you need me to do? And try my best to do it. Yes. As I did 30 plus years ago. And by the grace of God, Cindy and I, believe it or not, we did it by the grace of God. And our hearts to love Jesus because we've been radically transformed, knowing He put us together for His purpose, and a desire to be a part of a body and to love and serve Jesus and love and serve our family. I guess we did it so well that they asked us to be pastors. That's how we got into it. We didn't come together going, we're going to pastor a church one day and we're going to take over this church. No, we just said, we're going to love Jesus and let Him fulfill His purpose to us. And one day we found ourselves at a meeting. Would you guys like to take over the church? Why? I wasn't full-time. I worked a full-time job. I was on campus from 5 a.m. to 7 p.m. serving this church faithfully. But the revelation hit us. It hit us at that time that everyone's a minister. It's not my pastor's responsibility to go to the campus. He's got to pastor a church now. I got to go. I'm the minister. Huh? I'm not there. I mean, I'm not just, if all I was there to be a strength coach and train people to get stronger to try to win games, how vain is that when it's all said and done? Jesus sent me there to serve him in that context, but also to let them know that he is Lord. And in an athletic culture, man, you get a lot of things. You get a lot of right. You get a lot of backgrounds on campus. Are you kidding me? But we did it. And guess what? Jesus showed up. And let me tell you, as important as the services are on Sunday to strengthen and encourage and comfort one another, the saints called out to remember while they're on mission as we worship the Lord. Let me tell you, Jesus doesn't sit in church. He was an itinerant preacher. He'd visit the temple and he'd do things, and a lot of times he was not happy with the condition of it and what was going on there, but he was an itinerant preacher on mission to the lost world to reach them. And it was in the highways and byways of society that people and multitudes on the hills and all that, not in the temples, that were coming to know him. Are you with me? Let me tell you, where did I meet Jesus? I didn't meet him in church. I was in church up until eighth grade every Sunday. I got confirmed and all that stuff. And I'm not knocking the church I was in, or the expression of faith that was and all of that. And I'm so thankful for the faithful people who are serving Jesus in that context. But let me tell you this, man. Somehow along the way, I missed Jesus. I missed him in the midst of getting confirmed and all of that. I missed Jesus. Man, I got religion and ritual, and I learned how to confess my sins and do them again. And, you know, I mean, I learned all that stuff. Are you with me? But I didn't know Jesus. And I found myself on the Florida State campus for the first time showing up to my required workout in the weight room. And I walk to, we're doing our preseason strength and conditioning test. First thing you did your bench max, you did your sprint test, you did all these, you know, your sit-ups, muscular endurance, muscular strength, all that stuff. We did it all. So I'm under the bench press, about to go, and this giant of a man, 6'7", Coach Dave Van Hallinger, he's looking at me, and I'm scared to death, and he's looking at me, telling me that Jesus loves me. And I'm going, man, this is weird, man. I mean, I was expecting him to, like, be dog cussing me, telling me I'm worthless and weak and all those things. And he's saying, Jesus loves me. And every time I showed up in the weight room, he'd say, Jesus loves me. Jesus has got a purpose for you. He'd invite me to the FCA meeting every time. And then he'd give me a power bar to feed me. That was the routine. I mean, any athlete who went through Florida State University will laugh about it. A power bar and Jesus. That's what you got from Coach Van. A power bar and Jesus loves you. And I'm walking the hallways one day and I show up. I see an advertisement for an FCA meeting, and my friend Bart Schutz is speaking at the meeting. Last time I was with Bart Schutz, he was at Tampa Bay. Not last time, but he was at Tampa Bay. He got drafted by the Buccaneers and he was trying to make the Buccaneers team. Last time we were together, we were at the Palace Saloon, just acting unruly together. Bart, on his side gig was he was a model. He did modeling, okay? So when you went out with Bart, all the girls were around. That was the environment we were in last time together. I see a meeting. This is how lost I am. Bart Schutz speaking at FCA. I said, I'm going to go get Bart, because it's Thursday and we can go to the Palace Saloon after he speaks together again. So I got my 5-cent nickel beer mug Palace Saloon and I threw it in the back seat of my car, my nickel beer mug night mug, and threw it in the back of my car. And I went to the FCA meeting in the skybox looking over the stadium for the first time of my life. And Bart was at Tampa and he had just finished with the Buccaneers and he got there and he thought, like, if I make it to professional football, it'll be the answer to my life. I'll finally be content and happy. And he got there, and he was about to make the team, and he went into the bathroom in the locker room, and he cried out to God and said, God, I'm miserable. If you're real, show yourself to me. And God did, and he got saved. And he came back saved. Jesus is his Lord to testify at FCA. And I show up thinking, I'm going to get barred, and we're going to go to the clubs and chase girls afterwards. And he's talking about Jesus and how he changed his life. And Coach Van had been talking about Jesus all semester to me. He's telling me how Jesus changed his life. And I'm looking at him as he's speaking. And about 20 minutes through it, I went, ask this question. How's he saying this? How's he speaking this? What's going on? And all of a sudden, a voice in my head, it sounded like an audible voice from heaven, said, that's not him speaking. It's me speaking. And I went, who is me? And I realized God had showed up, that God was in the skybox, and he was after me. I didn't know if he was after anybody else, but he was after me. And I began to shrink in my chair, trying to hide. And after the meeting, I didn't know what was going on, but Coach Van stood up, and he goes, the Holy Spirit is strong here tonight. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, stand up and come forward. And all of us, all the athletes who were coming, right? I mean, we were going out after FCA meetings to get drunk and do things, right? I mean, we're all faking it, right? I stood up in front of them all and walked forward. I can't believe I did it. And Bart, this is his first time speaking. He didn't know what to do. So he, like, grabbed my head and just went, Jesus, show yourself to Ron, amen. And I went, thank you. And he goes, just go over there and say a prayer. And I went, okay. I don't even know how to pray. But I was trained, and so I went, our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your... And Jesus entered my heart. And I began to cry and weep uncontrollably, snot coming out of my nose. All my peers and friends and the girls I wanted to impress are looking at me. I'm like, in a revelation that God hates my sin. Yeah. Jesus died for my sin. And as I continued to just lay there and weep, all of a sudden the grace and the mercy of God began to flood my heart. And my thoughts changed from God's hatred of my sin and how I had so displeased him by living my life for myself my whole life, thinking I was a good guy, to his grace and his mercy. It was overwhelming to me that I love you and I've forgiven you and I've called you to represent me now. And I got up and I walked over to Bart with snot all over my face and tears streaming down my eyes. And I went, Bart, God is real. And he goes, I know, man. And I went, God is real. And the story of that night is I went to the meeting with a beer mug and I went home with a Bible. And the rest is history. I was living one way one moment on the campus. Let me just say this. My apartment was where you came for the keg party. And the next week, it was filled with blind students on campus and deaf students and some of my basketball teammates and students hearing the testimony that Jesus is Lord. And my apartment became the party place to where the Bible study, man. It's like if you didn't want to come there to know Jesus, you ran from that place. I mean, it was like if you were ready to party, you'd get, whoa, let me get out of there, you know. And my point of it all in this is, man, Jesus met me in the skybox because somebody was willing to get the revelation. I'm a minister. I'm not just a strength coach. Do you know that, college students, stand up for me if you would. Listen, you're not just students at Florida State or FAMU or TCC to get a degree. You're a minister of reconciliation for Jesus Christ on that campus. That's really why you're there. Take the education, take the skills and all that you're learning from it to use that to the glory of God, but you are there to represent Jesus as his minister. I mean, I don't know how to... Like, you might look in, like, American religions, think, okay, the pastor, he is, like, the guy who does all the ministry. We do ministry, but he sent you there. You're his minister of reconciliation to all those thousands and thousands of people in your sphere of influence, including your professor, who might be contrary and anti-Bible. You're there to stand on the truth of Jesus. You're there to show everyone in your sphere of influence who he is. And God's holding you accountable for that. That's why it's important that you know who he is and you be confident in your faith. All right, sit down, college student. Community people, stand up. Stand up. Wherever you're placed, marketplace, government in this city, if you're a doctor, lawyer, whatever you are, business owner, listen, more than that, you are a minister of reconciliation for Jesus Christ. Are you with me?
Yes.
You're a minister.
Yes.
The reason you get up and exist isn't to just get provision for your family or yourself. God's got that taken care of. Congratulations on getting this far in life, actually going to class and passing and getting a degree and doing all that. And now you get an income, and now you got the responsibility of life and all that, and that's awesome, and that's important, and that's to be stewarded well. But where God has placed you, where you are sent, you are a minister of Jesus Christ. That is your responsibility every day. It's you.
Amen.
There's no one else.
Yes.
There's no plan B.
Yes.
There's no plan B. It's you right where you're at. There is a harvest that Jesus wants to reap through your life that will blow you away if you'll step out of your comfort and your fears and insecurities and just obey. He will use you in ways you can't imagine. Okay, you can be seated. Thank you very much. The confidence I have in the pulpit this morning to preach God's word is not in my ability. It's not in my study. It's not in my ability. It's not in any gifting God give me or any of those things. My confidence this morning is this. I know who placed me here. And every Sunday morning, part of one of the things that just I stand in awe of is the fact that God uses me. In high school, I would have definitely been voted least likely to become a preacher or a pastor. That wasn't on the plan. It wasn't on the plan. Laura, we grew up together. That's the amen. She knows. She knows. She's got blackmail material on Pastor Ron. Grew up together in this city, least likely. And I'm not trying to exaggerate, all right? Point, I know who placed me here. Jesus. And I admire, I do, from this role as pastor, I admire you because God's placed you in a unique place to witness for him. I thought Todd did just such a great job, and his point in perspective is so true. Here's the perspective. The perspective is you're the one Jesus sent to where you're at to show people him. It's you. It's you. It's nobody else. Not Pastor Ron. It's not Pastor Ken. It's not Pastor Ben. It's you. That means with the right heart, with the right equipping, you can do it better than us where you're at because we can't be you. You can do it better than Paul could. believe it or not. As crazy as that sounds, because Paul's not you. God made you different than him, and God didn't send him to where you're at. He sent you to represent him. Whew. Man, that hit me. That hit me when I was, Pastor, what do you need me to do? Go to the campus. Me? Okay, I'll go. It hit me that I am a minister for Jesus in this environment. Just like it hit Coach Van. Yes. Multitudes looked and said, you? Jesus? God, there's got to be a God. But I ain't going to let you know I think that. I'm going to keep living in my sin and let life hit. And it did. And when the life hit, and trials and sin, all that, they got to the themselves. They turned and went, help me. I want to get my life right with God. And if you'll live, love for the lost, speak the truth of who Jesus is, live it out every day. When Monday comes in the trials, you're the one they're going to turn to. Say, help me. I want to get my life right with God. Yeah. If you'd come in our weight room, two of my most rebellious, antagonistic athletes, two of them, they were the worst. They persecuted me, mocked me in front of their old teams. One of them was Patty Diamond. Team captain on the volleyball team, pre-med major, brilliant. She'd mock my faith. She had a boyfriend on the swim team. They threw the camp. They're the ones who threw the campus parties. They were the big shots, right? They start getting in beef. Life starts to hit. One day she shows up in my office, broken. I want to get my life right with God. Her team was in just disarray and sin. They all came to know Jesus. She led them all to Christ. Their coaches lived a lifestyle contrary to what Scripture teaches as righteous living. Persecution broke out. I found myself sitting before the AD trying to explain what the heck was going on. I said, I can't, but Jesus is real. Another one, my chief mocker, was a girl named Missy Calkins at the time, All-American softball player, first team at Florida State when we were great at softball, right? Mocked me every day. I'd play Christian songs in the weight room, mocked it, mocked everything I did. She shows up to our 9 p.m. Champions for Christ meeting one night, and I think she's coming to, like, mock it. And she was gorgeous, gorgeous, and to, you know, distract the guys and all that. She shows up at the door, and I cut her off, and I go, what are you doing here? Trying to keep her from coming in. Life hit. She'd been in a car accident. Different things hit. She showed up to get her life right with Jesus. She gets her life right with Jesus. The whole softball team comes to know Christ. Amen. The head coach at the time, heard the stadium's named after you. Are you with me? Didn't like what we were doing. End up in the administrative office again, trying to explain what's going on. I go, I can't, but Jesus is Lord. One of the girls she reached was a girl named Dana Bailey at the time. Center fielder, incredibly gifted, could dance, sing, greatest athlete on the team, homecoming queen from Louisiana. I mean, just one of the most talented, gifted, beautiful people I've ever seen. She got saved. She ends up marrying one of my strength coaches, Manny Coya. They become members of the church. They start our FAMU ministry. FAMU students, you're here because of their faith. They birthed FAMU ministry in our church. Dana contracted cancer of the eyes and all that, ended up dying prematurely, probably before the in her 30s. I went and helped facilitate the memorial service in Louisiana. The whole community is there. I mean, like, Things in the city are named after her now, right? This is the influence she had. And the most powerful moment for me was her coach, whose life still hadn't changed, and who didn't really like what we were doing, was sitting there weeping because of the influence she had and the reality of living for Jesus, that she couldn't deny it. And we got to minister to coach there. Yeah. And those girls have loved her since then. I'm telling you, man, the power of Jesus to show up wherever you're at is unprecedented. It's just unbelievable. And I watched these softball players, juniors, sophomores, juniors, they became a minister on the college campus. And they led so many people to Jesus. The pastoring church is now doing things like that. It's unbelievable. Jesus has called every single one of us to minister for him. We are representatives. The ministry he's given us is reconciliation in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In that ministry, in it, he says that we're ambassadors of Christ. We're actually his mouthpiece, making an appeal to the world to be reconciled to God. An ambassador is the highest ranking diplomatic official sent by the sovereign of that state to represent him. We are sent by Jesus as his ambassadors to represent the kingdom of God wherever he's placed us. Under his authority, which is above all authority on planet Earth. And when we speak the truth of Jesus in love, every other authority has to bow down to it. Even when it's rebelling against it, it cannot win. You can do nothing against the truth, Scripture says. If we will speak it in love, the authority of Jesus will manifest through our lives, that when it does, lost people come to know him. Yeah. It's the ministry of reconciliation. It's what Jesus loves to do, reconcile sinners to him. And Jesus taught this. He said, here's how you'll know ultimately who are really my children. Blessed are the peacemakers, the ones who bring reconciliation to the world in reconciling God and man and reconciling and bringing peace where there's strife and division. Blessed are those, they'll be called the children of God. And unfortunately, we have a media full of people who are not peacemakers using the name of Christianity or whatever else as a disguise. God hates it. And he's looking for people who will truly be reconcilers for him. What's our message? Our message is repentance. It's this. It is the solution for the world. It's the solution. You know, you get advertisements, take this pill, it'll do this for you, do this for you, do this for you. Now, let me tell you. The problem with the world is sin. Political agendas, people in power will try to say it's skin, it's this, it's whatever else. Let me tell you what it is. It's sin. It's the heart of man and woman in rebellion against God. And there's only one solution to social ills that are in our society today, and it's this. It's repentance. It's turn your heart, your mind, your will away from your sin and turn to God. Right. And put faith in Jesus to cleanse you of that. And that is the message. Yes. The message is that God offers sinful people eternal life, that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that sin separates us from God. It separates us from him. And that's the problem with the world, is we're separated from God in our sin. And there's nothing we can do to bridge that gap or bring it back in relationship, right? We can't do it because we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When you were a five-year-old and you stole that two-cent piece of bubble gum walking through the aisle, Jesus saw that, and it's sin. And that sin, believe it or not, will send you to hell because God's so holy and just. But God doesn't want you to go to hell because He's love and He died on the cross for you to know Him. He became a sacrifice for you to stand in your place as the substitution, because you as a sinner will always be that before God unless somebody else stands in your place, because you have sinned. And there's only one who hasn't sinned. It's Jesus. And Jesus died as the sacrifice to become our substitute, to stand in your place and say, God, don't count the wrath against them. Put it on me. I'll stand in their place and take their wrath for them on the cross. I'll take their justice on every sacrifice, every lash, every execution. I'll take it on me. I'll take it. And when we believe it, put our faith in it, we have salvation. And that revelation hit me when I was on my knees. That's what Jesus did for me. How can we not love Him and serve Him with everything that we have? How can we care what other people think about us? Only thing that matters is what Jesus thinks about us. And it's the message. They might not like you at first, but it's okay. They're watching. Patty, she would mock me, and I'd turn around and I'd go, you need to get right with God. You need to repent. Missy would mock me. I'd go, you need to get right with God. You need to repent. And they watched and they watched and they watched. Life hit. One day they showed up. Said, I want to get right with God. Amen. I said, repent of your sins. Yes. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Get baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes. Get added to His church. Rest is history. Jesus is expecting you to do that where you're at with the people in your sphere of influence who don't know Him. How many people in your sphere of influence know, think of somebody right now? Raise your hand. Yeah, I know somebody in my sphere of influence that need Jesus. Josh, I just met one of them. Yeah, not you, Josh, but it was for someone Josh and I know. You're shining a light on Him. Father, help us this morning. Help us. Help us, Lord, to love You. Help us to serve You. Help us to walk in Your ways, Lord. Lord, it's serious. Everyone is a minister, Lord. Lord, we thank You that when we stand before You, we won't have to give an account, for our sin is washed in the blood of Jesus. But Lord, we do give an account for our faithfulness to serve You well. And Lord, we just pray. We know there's been just such a spirit of, man, I don't want people to not like me, or, you know, I don't want to offend somebody. Lord, that's the devil. Lord, the greatest way, we know this, that we can love somebody is to tell them the truth. It's the greatest expression of love, even if you don't like it. And so, Lord, just help us this morning as we kick off this month of evangelism and world missions to realize that there's nobody else. It's me that You're sending to the place I'm at to be a minister for You. Becoming a Christian isn't about just getting a blessed life and living however you want to live. It's about, now I'm submitting to following Jesus. Jesus turns His followers into ministers of reconciliation to reach lost people in their sphere of influence. That's what He does. So that heaven can be full, because earth isn't our final resting place. It's the Father's house in heaven. And Jesus said there's many rooms He's prepared people to come into. I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you know you're not in right relationship with Jesus and you'd like to get in right relationship with him by repenting of your sins, would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you this morning if that's you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to ask that my prayer team come up if you would. God bless you. This is a new season of getting right with the Lord. I'm also going to pray for the next group. Just if you go, Lord, I need your grace to be the kind of minister of reconciliation you're calling me to be, where you've placed me to be. Would you raise your hand? I just want to pray. I just want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. If you would just stand with me. If you're saying that's me, just stand. I'm going to pray. This is going to be a new, not if you're serious about this prayer, this is going to be a new. Lord, I thank you. You're releasing a new spirit of evangelism, a new power in your witness over, Lord, those that are standing before you. God, I thank you that it's dropping. That man, I'm an ambassador for Christ, not just a son and daughter, but an ambassador for Christ, his representative to where he's placed me. So, Lord, we just thank you that, Lord, you're empowering them to be a great witness for you. And Lord, we pray for those that are lost in their sphere of influence, Lord, that you would begin to just do what you do, draw them to you, Lord. And that amazing, Lord, conversion of relationship would happen to a greater degree, that people would come to know you in Jesus' name. Lord, give our heart, give our Every Nation Tallahassee Church a heart for the lost. Lord, let us love the lost. Let us weep, break over, Lord, the condition of their sins and the consequences of it. And let that love be sincere in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? If you need prayer, come on down and get prayer. Last thing I'll say is think about this. Jesus said one of the worst conditions of the end times was this, that the love of most would grow cold. We can't let that happen, church. Can't let it happen. Gotta love the lost. Gotta love the lost. And so with that, final thoughts. Great to have you here this morning. God bless you. If you need prayer, come get prayer. If you need a purple book, get a purple book. If you're here for the first time, turn in your connection card or whatever else. If you're looking to connect, God bless you. Have a great week.